Record. So as I said, Rav Nachum Rabinovich, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of Birchas Moshe, Yeshiva Birkat Moshe, otherwise known as Mali Adumim, because that's where it's located, he passed away this morning, and he was a huge luminary of the Dat Yilumi modern Orthodox world, and he was also known for putting out a number of tshuvos, the Shutziach Nachum. He put out a sefer called Malum de Milchama, which was a sefer that he wrote tshuvos for IDF soldiers for questions that come up in the military, as well as he also wrote an extensive commentary called the Yab Shuta on the Rambam. And he was a huge scholar. He had a doctorate in mathematics, I believe from Johns Hopkins as well. We lost someone really great today. And it's hashgacha that, as I said, that the shiur that we happen to be learning today anyway, that I just prepared, has at least two sources from Rav Nachum Rabinovich. So I think it is only appropriate that we learn that today. The question that we're dealing with today with our contemporary issues is, may one break Shabbos in order to save the life of someone who is not Jewish? Can you break Shabbos, be mechal Shabbos, to save the life of a goy? It's a question that has come up many times, and anyone who works as a doctor at a hospital, this is a question that you would have every week if you have a shift on Shabbos. So the question is, what is we know that probably is a good idea to help out a non-Jew, because, well, we'll get into the reasons why, but the question is, what does Halacha have to say about that? So if we look in the Gemara Maseches Yoma, Daf Hey Hey Amid Aleph through Amid Beis, the Gemara is trying to figure out what is the source, what is the makor for breaking Shabbos to save a person's life to begin with. Rashi Ben Asya Omer V'Shamru Bnei Yisrael to Shabbos Amro Toira Chal Olav Shabbos Achas Kedei Sheishmer Shabbos Asharbe, that we break one Shabbos in order so that this individual we're saving can keep many other Shabbosos in the future. Yeah. That's one opinion as to what the source is. Another opinion, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Ihavi Hasam, if I was there, Hava Amina, the Dia Divim Yehu, I have a better source. B'chai Behem V'lo She'yamos Behem, the general idea in the Torah, not just for Shabbos, that except for the Gimel Chamuros and doing an Aveir Befer Hesia, otherwise, you are not supposed to give up your life. You're supposed to live rather than refrain from transgressing an Aveira. So it's better to, the lesser of the two evils, to break Shabbos than to lose your life. That's what the Gemara in Yoma says. Now the question is, does this extend to a non-Jew as well? Well, all we have to do is look back at the Mishnah that this Gemara comes after. The Mishnah that's found in Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, Misha Nafla Lav Ma'Poles, Savik Husham, Savik Enosham. Let's say debris fell on a person on Shabbos. We don't know if there, well, actually, first of all, we don't even know if there's a person there. We're not sure. Savik Chai, Savik Meis, or there is someone there, but we're not sure if he's alive or if he's dead. And then Safek Kusi, Safek Yisrael. There's a Safek if he's a Goy and a Safek if he's a Yisrael, but Fakin Lava Sagal. We still will look through the debris to find the person that's under there. Now, by virtue of, what's the Safek? What's the suffix of Suffolk Kusi, Suffolk Yisrael? We don't know if he's a guy. We don't know if he's a Jew. It very strongly implies, it means that there's a suffix if there's a Jew. There's a suffix if there's a guy. If I knew for sure there's a Jew there, of course, there wouldn't even be a question to remove the debris. But if I knew there was a guy there, I would not remove the debris. I would not be Michal Shabbos in order to save the life of a guy. It's only because we have a suffix if a Yisrael's there that we uncover the debris. So it's very clear from the time of the Mishnah that there's no, that Shabbos takes precedence over saving the life of a non-Jewish person. And that seems to have been the normative opinion for quite a while. However, as you can imagine, it's a little difficult and some would say untenable to abide by such a halacha. So there's going to be a few approaches in the Achronim How we circumvent, reapply, adapt to our current circumstances. One is from the Tshuvas of the Chasam Sofer. So the Chasam Sofer, which is also quoted in the Pisrei Tshuva, actually, he takes the longer Tshuva of the Chasam Sofer and gives us a briefer synopsis, so we'll look at that, says as follows. In the Tshuvas Chasam Sofer, he deals with Pekidos Asar Ba'aris Tugar, Akol Ayaros Akfarim Lahasir Lahem Yaledes Bekia, Asher Lomdof Nechach Mehem Dafka, Bafil Yishlehem Chayas Pekuchos, Mikol Makum Tzrichos Dafka, Lahasir Lahem Osa Shamdom Nisel Nechach Meharofim. So in this non-Jewish country, the only women that they wanted to be doctors, to help give birth, to be midwives, to help a woman give birth, were women who passed their tests, who were certified by whatever their version of a medical board was. And the issue is that there are certain v'nei nimsa ezek farim shlo matzu lefi sham melomedes ki im yisraelis. So there are villages or outskirts where in this one horse town, the only woman who is qualified, who is certified by their medical board, or whatever you want to call it, to be a midwife and to help women give birth, was a Jewish woman. And the question is, should she be allowed to be a midwife to help non-Jewish women give birth? And he answers, of course she should be able to help them, but look at the last line I put over here, an underline. But if you want to cut the umbilical cord, which is an iser d'oraisa, right, you should ask one of the avodos kochavim, havrio medes al tzida lachtoch, v'im yesh be'eva zu chashash sakanas nefashos. Right, and if there is going to be an iser, not an iser, but a concern of Eva, a concern that if you, let's say this non-Jewish woman, she wants to cut the, she doesn't want to cut the umbilical cord, so she tells a non-Jew to do it. They'll say, oh, we see that this non-Jewish, that this Jewish woman, she doesn't really want to help all of the other non-Jewish women, and therefore she's trying to shirk off the responsibility and get away with the bare minimum. So if we're concerned for Eva, which can result in sakanas nefashos, that the goyim might come to hate us, there could be a pogrom, or in fact, they may not help us in the future. Yesh lahatir afil malacha d'oraisa. You can even do malacha d'oraisa. And that is the assumption that poskim have today. If I'm not mistaken, I think Ramosha Feinstein might adopt a similar line of reasoning, that it's a pragmatic necessity. It's a pragmatic necessity to help a non-Jew. Because if we, Jewish doctors, do not service non-Jewish patients, A, in certain countries, it could lead to a pogrom. And in, you know, more civilized countries where they couldn't just run out in the streets and murder us, let's say there's an instance where there's a non-Jewish doctor and a Jewish patient where the tables are turned. The non-Jewish doctor may be inclined to refrain from helping a Jew because we're not helping them. So therefore, it's we want that reciprocity. So if we help them, they help us. And that is the line of reasoning, a pragmatic line of reasoning that the Chasam Sofer espoused. Clear on that? Okay. Now, the thing with the Chasam Sofer is that this might actually be more, I would say, true to the ethos, the Pashut Pshat ethos of the Mishnah that we saw. However, if you look at the Ramban, and you look at the Meiri, they don't only argue that there is a pragmatic utilitarian reason. Look, you know, it's a social exchange theory. If I help this guy, he'll help me. But actually that there's a moral imperative to help a non-Jew and perhaps even to break Shabbos. Ramban, so step one, Ramban already talks about a category called a ger toshav, which is someone who accepts the Shemus b'nei Noach. And so he's living in Eretz Yisrael. He's keeping the Shemus B'nei Noach. He's trying to convert. So if someone accepts the Shemus B'nei Noach, they are no longer considered a guy But they're no longer considered a full Jew either. And for this person, there is a mitzvah that Ramban writes in the when he lists omissions to the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, omission number 16, and we're supposed to save him. And he says even, and even in a case of pikuach nefesh on Shabbos, we're expected to break Shabbos in order to save the life of a ger toshav. Now the issue is, a ger toshav is not a stam guy. A ger toshav is someone who one could say even is on the way to becoming Jewish. So someone who's accepted Hashem's B'nai Noach. But what about most guyim in the world who do not accept Hashem's B'nai Noach? We still, from the Ramban alone, there doesn't seem to be a heter to break Shabbos to save a life of a guy who did not accept Hashem's B'nai Noach. So for that, we turn to the Me'iri. The Me'iri in Maseches Yoma on the Gemara that we saw before, he says that she'ein anu mitzuvim lechal Shabbos aleihem acher she'elam shum das. Why don't we have to save a guy that's found under debris? Because this kind of guy, he does not have any religion. What does that mean? He does not have any religion. So we have to look at the Me'iri Maseches Avodah Zarah, which of course would be the natural place for us to go to for these kinds of inyanim. So the Me'iri in Maseches Avodah Zarah says, what kind of goyim are we not chayiv and even not supposed to save? Rotzeh lomar sheba'ovdei ha'lili nemar, shlo hayu gedur medarchei hadasos. What's it talking about? It's talking about heathens, pagans, who are not bound by the laws of the religions. What's that mean? So what he says is, what's the point of religion? Religion, true, they may not be keeping Judaism, but if they're keeping Christianity, they're keeping Islam, chances are they have some sort of code of law that is dictating how they are supposed to conduct themselves. Supposedly, they're not going to run around murdering people because they're governed by some form of religion, and therefore they are considered more civilized. So, what kind of non-Jew was the Torah was halacha telling us to not save their life? It was talking about someone who has no sense of morality, who is a heathen, who is a barbarian. But someone who's a civilized non-Jew, that does not fall into that category. And the same way you save a ger toshav, you would save one of these people from an established religion as well. And the Maritz Chias, in his essay, Teferes Yisrael, he says this explicitly. V'chol sheshomer sheva mitzos mipnei shenitzdava b'torah, al pi Hashem b'ya Moshe, anyone who follows the Shemus may know because they're commanded in Torah, Hareza ger toshav etzlenu. They are considered a ger toshav for us. And if you look in the broader context of this essay, he means that he says explicitly that someone who's from Christianity, someone who's a notzri, someone who's Muslim, they fall into the category of ger toshav because they are abiding by mitzvos that they believe is given by God. They may not have the exact same concept as us, but therefore we would be chayiv to save their life on Shabbos. And Rav Yosef, so now we're getting to Rav Nachum Rabinovich. Right before Rav Nachum Rabinovich himself, he had an essay in Tradition where he addressed this topic. There was an issue, I think it was like in the 1960s, called the Shahak affair, where there was supposedly like a blood libel, and this Israeli journalist claimed that this non-Jew was going to die, and none of the Jewish people around wanted to break Shabbos and use their phones to call for help. So they brought up this whole question of, wait, do we have to save the life of a non-Jew? Are we supposed to break Shabbos to save the life of a non-Jew, rather? So he quotes a Rav Yosef Elio Hankin, who says, as for the rule in the Talmud that a ger toshav must accept that the seven commandments before a tribunal of three as a decree from God through Moses, this is only with respect to our obligation to provide him with a livelihood and the privilege to reside in the land of Israel. But insofar as being removed from the class of idolaters is concerned, Anyone who denies idolatry and acknowledges that seven commandments are obligatory is a ger toshav. So there's a question that comes up, is that to be a ger toshav, seemingly you need to go in front of the Beis Din. There needs to be a formal acceptance of the Shemitz B'nai Noach. But what Rav Henkin says is that that formality is just to give you, to give us an obligation to save your, you know, to support you financially. But just to be a stam ger toshav, to the extent that we may even have to just save his life on Shabbos, that would be enough just to be a religious Christian, a religious Muslim. That would be enough to put you in that category. And perhaps I would say, it doesn't, you don't have to often need to be a Christian or a Muslim. If you're a secular person who would be abiding by the Shemitz B'nai Noach because you think they're ethical, yesh ladun if you'll be included. Because on the one hand, you don't think you're commanded by God. But on the other hand, you are being a civil person, so perhaps that puts you in that category. I can't answer that question. But Rav Nachum Rabinovich, coming to him in our conclusion, he forms a synthesis between the school of thought of the Chassam Sofer, which is the pragmatist approach. We save Goyim, so they will save us, so we don't get killed. And he mixes also the approach of the moral imperative to save a non-Jewish life because it is significant. And he distinguishes between two cases. This is in his Sefer Melom de Melchama, where he addresses issues that come up for the IDF in the military. He says, Nimsa shalemaisa tzarech letapel b'shavis b'chol patzul lefi ha-nidrash al-pi klolei ha-refua kimimano shach im adam hagun hu ha-refu also doche shavis v'mechabel hu ha-shavis ninchis mishum eva. So, if there's a terrorist attack, let's say a non-Jew is a victim of a terrorist attack. Certainly, if he's an Adam Hagun, he is an upstanding individual. He's an ethical, normal person. He's not going around murdering. He's not going around raping. He's not going around worshiping Avodah Zarah. So then he would be included in the imperative to save his life on Shabbos. But, and as from a moral approach, but what about the terrorist himself? And this is another topic unto itself. Do you save the life of a terrorist once he's neutralized? He would say that you do save the life of a terrorist, but only because we know that BBC, the UN, and the New York Times are going to be writing up about it, and it won't be good optics for the Jewish people. So therefore, a Shabbos nidchis mishum eva. Why is Shabbos pushed off? Because we're concerned that if we outright kill a terrorist, even though that might be good for the state of Israel, less terrorists out there, less murders, overall, it wouldn't help Israel's diplomatic mission. So we see is that it seems that there's a consensus that nowadays we save the life of a non-Jew, even if it means being Mechalel Shabbos. Do we do it because it's a moral imperative, or do we do it because Mipnei Eva? The Nafkamina, of course, would be, I'm not saying this Lamaisa, the Nafkamina, of course, would be that if you think it's just for pragmatic reasons, if you know that there wouldn't be any Eva, you wouldn't be allowed to say break Shabbos to save a non-Jew's life. Nonetheless, I just want to be very abundantly clear, halach lemaisa, you do break Shabbos to save a non-Jew's life. I had a instance like, well, something like this. I my parents live in a neighborhood in Bayswater. It's some of the locals there are not always abiding by the most highest standards of our society. And I think on Shabbat, I was there for Shabbos, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and there was this teenager who was like hitting and beating up a girl outside the house in the middle of the night at like 2, 3 a.m. in the morning. So immediately I called the police, which is, I know it's only an Issur Darabanan, but if you're even an Issur Daraisa, you know, I think would be appropriate. So, of course, halach lemaisa, we are supposed to save the life even of a non-Jew if it means being mechal Shabbos. And I hope that these sources help you understand how that halacha developed and the motivations behind it. And I'm glad that we're able to bring in some of Rav Nachum Rabinovich. He is very critical on this topic as well as many others. And hopefully that this should be a schus for an aliyas neshama for him. All right, everyone. So God willing, I'll see you all tomorrow for our final shiur. And we'll be in touch.
Thank you.